to serve us by way of exhortation. We have Brother Kitson with us, and we look forward now to Brother Kitson's words to us. Thank you.
My dear brothers and sisters, there are a number of people in the Bible who over the years have inspired me to try and understand why it is that people follow God and the Lord Jesus. And there is a group of individuals to which we shall come in a few moments who actually rise above all of the examples in my humble experience. This particular group of individuals show to me a sense of total dedication, who show to me a example which has been with me for many years. It is a group of women who, above everything else, showed how dedicated they were in the midst of great adversity. And actually, when the brethren had run away, it was these women who show a remarkable sense of faith and character, which, sad to say, for a while put some of the brethren to shame. So will you please join with me in opening our Bibles at the Gospel of Matthew. And as you go to Matthew chapter 27, because this is my theme by way of exhortation, it's only a simple theme, because I like simple exhortations. The theme is this: stay with God. Only three words. Stay with God. And if you stay with God, brother, sister, if you stay with Him, He will show you great things beyond your wildest imaginations. Oh yes. Matthew chapter 27, please. And we're going in at verse 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. It's interesting to keep in mind what Mary means. Do you remember in the Old Testament when this woman Naomi goes to Moab with her husband and their two sons, and they're there for 10 years? And as she comes back home again, she's in a right state. She's lost everything. And the people say, "Is this not Naomi?" To which she replies, "Call me not Naomi." You know what Naomi means? My pleasantness, my sweetness. Don't call me pleasantness or sweetness anymore, but call me Mara. Mary. "For the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me." That's what Mary means. Do you remember also when they bring Jesus as a babe into the temple and Simeon is there? And he blesses them. And then he says to Mary, "Yea, a soul shall pierce thine own soul also." And what Simeon was saying to Mary is that throughout your life, from now on, from time to time, you will feel that sword, metaphorically speaking, piercing the hardship, the challenges. It wasn't only at the foot of the cross. When she sees her son hanging on the cross, and Jesus says, "Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother." And from that moment on, John took her home. That sword didn't only come at the cross. It was throughout the life, from time to time. Remember what they said to Jesus? "We be not born of fornication." Oh, they had remembered all those years earlier, some 33 years earlier, the whispers about the birth of Jesus. Well, we're sure his father was a Samaritan. Right? Did we not say that word to Samaritan? That's what I said to Jesus. That's human nature, you see. The word, the gossip, it was constant. "Oh, don't mix with that family. Their firstborn was born out of wedlock, you know." Oh yeah, I remember all those years ago. That's human nature. And so that piercing of the sword from time to time in the life of this woman, Mara. "Call me Mara, Mary, for the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me." But, oh, stay with the things of God, and he will show you great things. So there the women are, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. And they watch, verse 58. "He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed." A great stone. Now look at verse 61. "And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre." Why do you think we are told in verse 56, "Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James"? And then again in verse 61, "And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre." Between verse 56 and 61. They're like bookends, aren't they? You notice? We're told twice for emphasis. Now these women are watching. It tells you a little extra, verse 61. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. So they're watching. They see Joseph take Jesus' body and wrap it up, and they are watching. They have a plan. Now, we're not told what this plan is yet. The Gospels unfolded in a beautiful way. But the point is, we're just simply told they're watching. It gets even more interesting, did you notice? Verse 65, Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it sure as ye can. Don't let anybody near this tomb, in case anybody comes and steals the body. Verse 66, so they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Tamper proof, you understand. And the women are watching. It's a seal, not a seal of cement as it were, but a seal to show if it's been tampered with, rather like a seal of a letter. However they did it, tamper proof, right? And just for good measure, there's a watch, there's soldiers outside the tomb, and the women are watching. Oh, remember, it is a stone. Oh, it is a great stone. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Notice that. Matthew says, they came to see. Very early in the morning, they came to see the sepulchre. Well, what would they see? Had they not seen everything days earlier? And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Well, I don't know about you, if you've been to the dentist or to the doctors or any places where we need the facilities regarding our health, we're sitting, we're waiting, because we are waiting for someone. The angel rolled the stone away and sat upon it. Why are we told that, brothers and sisters? He didn't roll the stone away to let Jesus out. Hold on. He rolled the stone away so the women could see. Because we know on other occasions Jesus appeared in the midst of them. The door's now being shut, the chapter says. And when he's on the road to Emmaus and he goes into their house, he vanishes from their sight. He could not be confined by time or space. And he sat upon it. He rolled it away. Why the detail? It's Gilgal. Remember? In the Old Testament, in the days of Joshua, God had rolled the reproach away. In the context of circumcision, it's there, isn't it? The stone was a reproach. It was rolled away. Gilgal. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. You see what you see when you stay. You see what you see. You see what God reveals to you if you're just willing to get up, just like those women, and stick around and see wonderful things. Come across, please, to Mark chapter 15 and verse 46. There it is again. And he, Joseph, brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone upon the door of the sepulchre.
Oh, here is Mark's account.
And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld.
Mark says they just sat there watching. Mark is a bit more specific. They beheld, they watched. They have a plan. We're not told what the plan is yet. All we are told is to observe the fact that they are observing what's happening. And they watch Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. John's record is the only one that tells us that also Nicodemus was there with a linen cloth, and they wrap the body of Jesus up, because these perceptive women, these women full of perception, they have a plan for their Lord. Beheld where he had lain. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had... here we are. Mark tells us a little extra. They brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Well, hang on a minute. Jesus' body was wrapped in the linen. And these women here, they want to do a proper job, a decent job. Things were rushed, you see. They know that they need to get to the Lord. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre, notice, at the rising of the sun. But hang on a minute. I have some questions, brothers and sisters. These women saw that there was a watch, soldiers guarding the entrance. Secondly, it could not be tampered with under pains of death. Thirdly, this stone was huge. Notice their remarks in verse 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre, and at the rising of the sun, sort of get up and before the sun comes and get themselves organized. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? End of verse 4, in case you forget. For the stone was very great. All these obstacles, brothers and sisters, if that was you, what would you do? Well, if that was me, I'd actually persuade myself that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, yeah, we watched them. They wrapped up the body of Jesus in linen, and you know, they did a pretty decent job under the circumstances. No point in getting up, because the soldiers are there. We could be in trouble. There's a seal. We can't be tampered. Let's not talk about the weight of the stone. They bring in their hands the spices. Now just think of that for a few moments, brothers and sisters. Have you considered the question? They bring in their hands what is necessary. They understand the challenges. They know that they are insurmountable. Stone, very great. Soldiers, sealed, tamper-proof. But they still get up in faith and go. And I ask myself the question, brothers and sisters, what would you have done? What would I have done? Actually, Jerusalem's not really a safe place for Christians. Maybe that is the lesson. Brother, sister, just do what is right and let God do the rest. Just bring in your hands your offerings of love, of time, of dedication. All God wants you to do is to bring in your hands and to make the effort. It doesn't matter about the challenges. It doesn't matter about how heavy the stone is. It doesn't matter about the challenges and the mountains that you may see that need to be moved. These incredible women got up. They observed. And even as they're going, they said, well, actually, well, who's going to move the stone? It did not prevent them. You see what you see when you make the effort to be with your Lord. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting. Why is he sitting? Because he's waiting for them, you see. Why young? Young man? How old was this young man? 1 million? 2 million? 5 million? He's an angel. Why is he described as young? Well, it is the resurrection, a new creation in Christ, a new beginning. There is language of newness of life, immortality. How else would you describe an angel? A young man sitting on the right side, a blessing, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You see what you see when you make the effort to get up and just bring to God what you know you can bring. What does the writer in the Proverbs say? My son, give me thine heart. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. My son, give me thine heart. Brother Vahid, Brother Muhammad, my son, give me thy heart. Luke, please, and chapter 24. And we're going in at verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, there it is again, they came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared. So they had planned, these sisters, they had planned. And certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Just make the effort, and God will open the way. 24 and verse 3. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, stood two men in shining garments. And they were afraid. Verse 10. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. The women got up and made the effort. In the midst of the challenges. It's over to John, please, in chapter 21, which really is absolutely breathtaking. John 21. Sorry, 20, verse 1 of John. The first day of the week came Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark. Oh, just go back to chapter 20, chapter 19, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple with Nicodemus, verse 39, they take the body of Jesus, verse 39 of John chapter 19. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. They took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. So the women see the body being wrapped in these spices, and they see it all. And it was, I think, a bit of a rush job under the circumstances, because the Passover was right there. The Sabbath was upon them. And they could have sat at home, couldn't they? Well, Joseph and Nicodemus, 100 pound weight of spices to embalm the body. But that wasn't good enough for these remarkable women. First day of the week came Mary Magdalene when it was yet dark. Yet dark! So they want to get to the sepulchre and it's dark. And seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. God had already opened the way. They look, verse 5, they stoop down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. So Simon Peter and John run and they look. They don't see anyone in the sepulchre. Then John and Peter go away. Mary stays. Verse 10. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. John and Peter leave. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. She sees something else, and seeth two angels in white, sitting. The one at the head, and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Is this not a remarkable picture of the most holy place? These angels, one sat there, the other sat there, where the body of Jesus once laid. Was that not a picture of the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat? And where the body of Jesus once was there perhaps still a remnant of blood? Just as the blood was sprinkled upon the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. Possibly, yes. The body was embalmed quite quickly. Perhaps there was the remnant of the blood still there. Perhaps it was the most holy place in type, Jesus being the sacrifice, the mercy seat, and the angels, as it were, representative of the cherubim. Perhaps. But it gets better. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? They have taken away my Lord. Now you see what you see when you make the effort and you stick around and you go in faith. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be this gardener. Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it? Oh. There was a gardener once. We call him the first Adam. To dress it and to keep it. And all those things happened in a garden. And there is the last Adam. Also in the garden. Sir, if you have borne him, tell me where he is. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. You see what you see when you stick around. These remarkable women, brothers and sisters, showed that whatever the problems they would bring in their hands, what would be necessary to do their part, knowing the obstacles and the challenges. And because Mary stuck around, she saw the Lord. May it be that in all our challenges, when things are difficult, we might have in our hands prayer, faith, patience, and go with that, and God will open the way in time. That we might see great things. And as we partake of the emblems, may we go in the strength of these great things, in his mercy and by his grace.